in Where's Nathan? Hashtag Where's Nathan? And that's why every now and again, that's why I was quite quiet during that, because I was reading them, and I was
sorry, Nathan.
It was quite funny. But he has just texted me to say, "Do you want me to call now?" So hopefully, the next time that light flashes,
you're at the pub.
Here we go.
Let's hope someone else. Nathan.
Hello, Nathan.
No, you're right.
Yes, at last.
Are you Nathan?
Say again, sorry.
Are you Nathan? Everyone else keeps ringing in.
Every time we keep saying hello, Nathan, and it's somebody else on the other end of the line, it was quite funny. There's been hashtag Where's Nathan all over the place in that last interview. It's just ridiculous, but it's quite funny.
It's a nightmare trying to get hold of each other.
Nathan, just quickly, have you sobered up?
Yeah, it took me till about Monday evening. I sort of banging head on Monday evening, but after that, I started to come back down to earth a little bit.
Brilliant.
I must admit, as I said to you on the phone when we spoke earlier in the week, it was probably one of the best games of football that I've seen in a very, very long time, considering that I had no allegiance to any side until the Welsh started booing the English national anthem. And then everybody, I think, around me all wanted North Ferriby to win it. And it was an amazing performance. And it was literally your left back. Is it Justy?
Josh
Wilde. The man of the match in the game was just
absolutely. Oh, Jason St. Just.
Yeah, he was absolutely sensational. I mean, he just wrecked him to pieces.
Yeah, he's fantastic. His pace is lightning. So as soon as he gets the ball at his feet, he just wants to run at people. And to be fair, there's not been very many rides. Yeah. So, but like you say, if you could have written the script for a final, you would have written it like that. It was amazing. It just couldn't have got any better. From the lows of being 2-0 down to the highs of being 2-2, and then the even bigger highs of getting to 3-2. And then, again, the low from scoring the third goal and us having to go to penalties.
Nathan, when did you actually believe on this road that you could actually make Wembley? When did the sort of the team see you and think, look, we've got a great chance? Because normally, the conference sides get, the northern and south sides do get it. But when was the belief there that look, we could actually proper get to Wembley here?
I think when we beat Farnborough and we drew Bath and we avoided Torquay, Halifax, Wrexham. I can't remember who the team was that we avoided, and we ended up getting Bath. So we as well chuffed for that, because obviously they're the same level as us, just obviously the southern version.
Yeah.
But then again, the same kind of thing. We was 2-0 up at their place and got picked back to 2-2. So it was the highs and lows again. And then our place in the semi-final, they scored the first goal after about 30-40 seconds. And then we ended up winning that on penalties again. So. Like I say, when we got drawn Bath, it was like a bit of an expectation really off the boys.
But it was
obviously the year before we got beat by Gosport, who ended up getting to Wembley.
Yeah.
And that was probably the biggest low a lot of us have ever had in our career, really, knowing that
obviously I was looking for your draw, and you in round one you drew with Boston and then obviously beat them on a replay.
Yeah.
Which are obviously they're in your side, but for me, because I know them quite well, when you beat Ebbsfleet, I thought that was a massive turn, and obviously that was if I'm right, that was Steve Brown's last game in charge. They were hoping, or if not expecting, to sort of get there, I think, with the money they had. And I know you said about Farnborough, but that result there was a huge result for you.
Yeah, well, Ebbsfleet, obviously, finances aside, there was probably the best team we've played, really. I know they pay a lot more wages than we do, and they have a higher expectation, but probably game-wise, leading up into the final, that was probably the best game to watch. It was backwards and forwards, and luckily for us, we ended up going through.
Yeah, that's really just with the final itself, obviously, as a player, you get yourself sort of, what was the week building up to that?
Well, to be honest, I tried not thinking about it, really, apart from up until we broke off work on the Thursday night. And I was getting a little bit giddy knowing that the next day we was travelling down to London to watch the England game. And then Saturday we trained at West Ham's ground. Mm. And then obviously Sunday the game. So throughout the week, obviously, all the lads work, so you don't really have a lot of time to think about it, really, up until Thursday night we trained, so the lads was getting a bit giddy and excited that the next morning was all set off to Wembley.
The game before against Brackley, were you sort of tiptoeing around, hoping not someone to kick you? Or?
I think, trying to be professional, you think no, but it's always in the back of your mind that if you do get injured in that game, you're definitely going to be out of the game. So I think there was maybe a couple of challenges where people would normally go in. And it's just like kind of left it really, which is fine. You don't hold no grudges for that because obviously it's the biggest game of most people's career that's in the league. So you're never gonna get that opportunity again. So maybe jumping out of a tackle maybe once or twice throughout the game before, you can forgive that really.
Well, I was, Nathan, sitting nine rows on from the halfway line, and I saw two incidences: one during the game, and one after the game. That I needed to. People have asked me to ask you about, and the one that happened during the game, which was quite funny, was I think it was just after Wrexham equalised in extra time, and the referee blew the whistle for the end of full time for the end of extra time, and I remember looking over at the bench and I saw Mark pick up his water bottle and absolutely destroy it on the turf, and it went flying into where the players sit, which I thought was you could tell passion and how much he really really wanted to win it. But there was one incident I think in the whole day. That really sort of it upset me, and I think probably wound me up a little bit as well at the same sort of time.
It was
just at the end of the game, and someone's told me it was yourself, and I don't know if it was or not. And it's nothing you did wrong. Don't panic. One of the players went into the crowd at the end of the game, like you do to see your family, and a little girl was passed over to one of the players, which I'm not sure if that was yourself or not, but somebody.
Yeah, it was my little girl. Yeah.
And the steward actually stopped you from taking the little one onto the pitch, which I thought was an absolute disgrace.
Yeah, it was disgusting. I was fuming with it, to be honest, but obviously with the occasion, I didn't want to rock the boat with anybody. But if I'd have been Wayne Rooney picking up my little, he'd been picking up his little girl. He just picked you up, and the steward wouldn't have said anything. But they actually closed the gate on me as well, so don't let me out.
So
I didn't want to really create a scene, but if it wouldn't be such a big game, then I'd just walk through and told the steward where to go. But it was poor, really, really poor, because obviously you want to celebrate with your family as much as you can. And my little girl, she didn't really know what was going on. It was just a big stadium, it was noisy, and daddy had just come to see her. So obviously I wanted to take her for a couple of pictures and a couple of celebrations, and I wasn't allowed to do so.
It was one of those things. I think for me, you know, what harm would that have done whatsoever in that sort of situation? You know, and we just sat there, and so me and the friend were sitting there together and watching the game, and we just looked at it and just shook our heads and just couldn't believe what we were watching.
It's like you always look back on FA Cups and Cups won at Wembley and things like that. And everybody. From the past, have always taken the little kids onto the pitch, haven't they? You see, when over the years that Man U have all won the trophies, pick up the little kids and they walk around and parade them around. So,
and it's
no big deal. I just thought I was a little bit miffed by it, to be fair. So was my wife, but
honest with you, one of the things that I looked at it, and I don't mean this in a detrimental way, but it was one of those things. If it was somebody like a Wayne Rooney, he might get there again in 2 years' time. He might get there the following year. He might get there a couple of times in 1 year. But you know, there's a chance that you might not ever play there again.
Yeah.
You know, that opportunity was a one off. You know, and I think that was for me. That's why it upset me a lot when I watched what was happening. When you think, if you picture yourself, they're back here in a couple of weeks' time, so it doesn't make too much of a difference. But I don't mean that in a detrimental side to you
or to the
club, but
it's
that sort of situation. You think, well, hang on a minute, what harm would that have done at all?
I've played football since, 10 years old, but obviously played a decent level since I was 16, 17. That's been my only chance. I got to Wembley, so I wanted to enjoy it. Was my little girl, she's only 17 months now, she's so... I want to enjoy it with her as well.
Yeah, well, I suppose that's the only bonus. She was so young. But on the other side of it, mate, like I said, you've made a great achievement, and don't let that dampen your memory for something great. Just a couple of things to say that obviously, you played in front of the crowd of 14,500. What sort of fan? How many fans did you take? We're going to get tweets. Where's Nathan?
We've lost Nathan's call. Hopefully, he'll call back. Hopefully he'll call back. Please call back, Nathan.
Where's Nathan?
Hopefully,
unless there's another supporter that wants to ring in before. Oh, who have we got?
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Hello, Nathan. Is that back again?
Yeah,
What I was saying, I mean, as I said, don't let it spoil your day, but the crowd was 14,500. How many fans did you bring?
I think we, well, I say only, but we took 3,000 apparently. Also, I was told before the game, but that's for us.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, you've got gates between 200-400, which is excellent.
Yeah, that's 10 times more than what we take. So, obviously, there was a lot of friends and family that wanted to jump onto the onto the game with everybody else, which is understandable, but there was that many fans there. You actually couldn't, and I genuinely mean this, you genuinely couldn't tell that they had 4 or 5 times more fans than us.
No, that's brilliant. What did you do? So you've won the game. You've walked up them magic steps. You've won your cup. What was the rest of the night like? What did you do? Obvious what you've done. But you know, did you stay in London?
Yeah, we stayed in London. A few of the lads and the wives and girlfriends, we all stayed in London. And we had to get the children to camp. To be honest, we didn't think it was Sunday night, and there weren't many places up.
Yeah.
Ooh, we've got a dodgy line.
Make mistakes, deal.
Yes.
There you go, you're back.
Back, yeah.
So
I think after the jubilation of the trophy, I think everyone was exhausted.
Yeah.
So we had a bit of an early night. We was in by about 1 o'clock, I think. And then travelled home on.
Have you had any sort of reception or anything, or is that going to be on Saturday for your next home game against Crawley?
We had a reception on Tuesday. We normally train on Tuesday night, but all the lads had to get our suits back on, and we had a civic reception at in Beverley, just a little town just outside of Hull. So I had a meet and greet with all the fans, with pictures with the trophy and all the players, at our ground Tuesday evening. So that was nice to be able to speak to the fans and get their side of the story and how they felt and everything else from the day, really, because from a fan's point of view rather than a player's point of view.
Have you watched the game back on TV?
No, I managed to watch it. I'm a Tiger, so I don't have BT Sports. I just stick with the Sky. So, look to the chairman, he's going to get us all DVDs. So, no doubt at some point in the next week or so, I'll probably sit down and watch it a couple of times.
It was quite funny, I think, as well, Nathan, in a way, you know, how things work out, that it was Billy's 700th game as well, and it just happened to be at Wembley.
Yeah, well, it was amazing. We had a little quiz the night before. And the last question was, how many games has the gaffer and Mark won out of 700 games? I think something like 367 games they've won.
It's not bad.
Out of the 700. Bearing in mind, they've been in the lower leagues, mm-hmm. Where they've had budgets of like to nothing, and they've had to literally scrape players up to play games.
That's not.
But things have been a fair bit, to be fair to them, their win percentage has been very, very excellent. They've done amazing.
No, that's
So
what now, Nathan? Obviously, you're sitting ninth in the league. You've got a couple of games in hand. You're 10 points off the playoff. Is it get ready, you know, keep your winner's medal on the side and just see the end of the season out? Or do you think you can really try and get a playoff place?
Yeah, we want to push for a playoff place. Until it's actually mathematically impossible for us to get there. You saw on Sunday the determination of all the boys have got. And it'll be exactly the same when we play Charlie on Saturday. We know runs for a tough game. I think they won 5 or 6-0. So obviously they're on a high, we're on a high. It should be a good game. They're a big strong team, which is the same as what we are. So,
well, you win a couple of games in hand and you're only 4 points off the playoffs, and you've obviously hopefully you should get a large crowd on Saturday.
Yeah, well, leading up to the final as well, we've had a lot of momentum. We've had the 5 games leading up to the final, we won 4 and drew 1.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that we're just stumbling over the line and letting the season pitter out. We're actually full throttle. We're ready to go.
And of course, Sean Mann had a match on Sunday. Also, should have been playing World Cup matches.
Yeah, apparently so. I didn't know this until the gaffer told us. On the Friday, but to be honest, we needed him really. He's been a massive player for us since he came into the club jersey. So there was no way the gaffer was going to let him get on the plane.
No, great story.
As I said at the beginning, that was an amazing performance. I mean, he just absolutely terrorised Wrexham, and Wrexham just at some points had two players on him, and he just absolutely ripped them to pieces.
When he's on that kind of form. There's nobody had him in our league. Nobody. But to be fair, in the first 25 minutes, Wrexham did real well. Passed the ball well. We couldn't get near him. And there was a lot of our players that was like kind of non-existent, really, because Wrexham was that good. But then, last 15 minutes of the first half, I think we was the better team. And funny enough, the second goal came because the lad got injured and came off.
How weird was that? His girlfriend
waved him on.
Yeah, his girlfriend was actually sitting right behind me. And she got up when he went down injured and sort of like, oh, I hope he's okay, I hope he's okay. And then all of a sudden, he's come back on the pitch. And I didn't even see the ref call him back on. And I had to watch it back when I got home just to see if he actually did wave him back on. And of course, you're right back, sort of didn't see him. And then bang, it's 2-0. And at that stage, you know, no disrespect, at that stage, you were thinking, well, this could be 4 or 5. Do you know what I mean? And then it really was a Roy de Rovers story.
A lot of people probably would think that we are dead and buried, but. As a club and as players and individuals, we never know when we'll beat. We've played teams when we're down to 10 men and still won. There was always a chance. And as soon as Kingy got his penalty, Kingy don't miss penalties now. He always puts them in the top corner. You don't stop them. So once he got to 2-1, it was game on.
And of course, they were under. I mean, I know they won the toss and took the penalties down the end, but it was. The pressure they must have been under. I think if it had been me winning it, I think I'd have had the penalties at the other end with literally no one behind the back of the goal.
Well, to be fair, before the game, we said if it does go to penalties, we're not bothered which end it goes at. It doesn't make any difference to us. Obviously, with them choosing that side, we got to choose to go first or second. So Kingy chose for us to go first, scored his goal, and the pressure's on them. So every time we score, they put the pressure on them.
We said sitting in the stand, you know, when St Jude's and that went up to take his penalty, we went, oh, look at him, he can hardly walk. Don't let him take a penalty, please, like that. And he saw him go up and he missed it. And he was seen so sorry for him at that stage, thinking, oh, no. It was fantastic to see, you know, the pressure get to them rather than get to you and you go on and win it.
Well, I think if you look at the end of the game, I know that we was hanging on for the last 10 minutes, but all they did was throw the kitchen sink at us. But I think we actually looked better than them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's not from a biased point of view. I actually think we look fit, even though we are part-time and they're full-time.
They were saying that on the TV coverage, you know, they were expecting Wrexham to be fitter than you guys and you guys to run out of steam, but it was completely the opposite way around.
That'll never happen with us. If you look at some of the boys in our team now, I've never seen other players run more than what they're doing in the game. But then, obviously, bringing it back to the penalties, Adam Nicklin, for me, he's one of the best keepers I've ever been with. He's by far the best keeper for me in non-league. So as soon as it was penalties, for me, it gives us an opportunity to win, really, because of the size of it.
Yeah. One last question for you before we let you go. I mean, what's the celebration? So the celebration, you know, we saw you saw you do it all at the end of the game up in front of your fans. I mean, what was all that about?
It's Jason St. Just. We all call him Sandgrass Bull Runnings. So it's a bobsled. So after when Ryan Kendall scored the third goal, you see me at the end trying to push the bobsled on and then put it off at the back. So, yeah, it's a little bobsled.
I bet Billy was well happy with that substitution.
Oh, what a substitution it was. But the thing is, with Ryan Kendall, he's that quick and strong that it gives us a little different up front. So, because to be fair to Tom Denton, he won every single header. But he wasn't really flicking on to anybody. He was just going through to their keeper. Whereas when Rye came on, he was just a bundle of energy and they couldn't live with him.
And he's a big boy, your number 9.
Yeah, he is a big guy. Very, very big boy. He's been excellent for us then all season. I think he's got something like 19 goals, which is exceptional for him.
Nathan, listen, mate, the time has run away with us, but it's been fantastic talking to you, and massive congratulations to you, to everybody at North Ferriby United, and me for one. I'll certainly be looking out for your results for the rest of the season. I say it was one of the best days of football that I've ever been to. I thought it was absolutely sensational, and you thoroughly deserve to win the game.
Oh, brilliant, appreciate that.
Magic. Thanks very much, Nathan.
All right, thanks, mate.
Thank you. Thank you, mate. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was